Lancaster. This is 95.3 Bailrig FM.
Anyone else fancy a Sultan?
With a restaurant on campus and delivery in town from the Caton Road store, Sultan's has everything you need to take a night out from bland to delicious. Don't let the end of the night be the end of the fun with Sultan of Lancaster Experience. Open till 4 a.m. Monday to Saturday and 2 a.m. on Sundays.
Your music, your news, your sport. This is 95.3 Bailrig FM. Listening to 95.3 Bailrig FM.
Well, good morning, Lancaster, and good morning, the rest of Great Britain, wherever you happen to be. Welcome back to the students who have had the unlucky chance to start their course a week early. This is the Big Bailrig Breakfast broadcast with Sam Carruthers on 95.3 FM. Just past 8 a.m. on the 6th of January 2026, the first show of the new year. We've got some great stuff lined up for you this week. Let's get going.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line that keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that bind me, or something that somebody said because they thought we fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're moving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just gentle on my mind. Though the wheat fields and the clotheslines and the junkyards and the highways come between us, and some other woman's crying to her mother 'cause she turned and I was gone, I still might run in silence, tears of joy might stain my face, and a summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you walking on the back roads by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. I dip my cup of soup back from a gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard. My beard a roughening coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Through cupped hands round the tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're waiting from the back roads by the rivers of my memories, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind.
You're listening to 95.3 Bale Rig FM.
Well, that was Glen Campbell with Gentle On My Mind starting off the morning there. Let's head straight over to the sports desk. In football, Arsenal pulling away at the top of the Premier League with a nervy 3-2 win away to struggling Bournemouth, while Manchester City could only draw with Chelsea, who snatched an injury time equaliser. Elsewhere, it's been a massive turnover week for football managers. The Celtics sacked their manager Wilfred Nancy after just 33 days in charge, following a run of poor results. And Jimmy Thalen has also left his role as manager of Aberdeen FC, despite leading the club to a historic Scottish Cup win in recent seasons. And the big one, Manchester United have sacked their head coach Ruben Amorim after just 14 months in charge at Old Trafford. The club announced the decision yesterday, citing disappointing results and a breakdown in confidence in the leadership, just days after Amorim challenged the board to let him do his job in peace. United under-18s coach Darren Fletcher has been named interim manager until the club finds a long-term replacement. In the Darts World Championships, Luke Littler once again stamped his authority on the game with a commanding 7-1 victory over Gian Van Veen, winning the title for the second time at just 18 years old. With the £1 million prize money secured, tears flowed as he was congratulated by Van Veen before he was handed the Sid Waddell Trophy by Olympic cycling great Sir Chris Hoy. In skiing, Switzerland's Camille Rast said she was racing for the victims of the New Year's Eve fire in her hometown of Crans, Montana, as she ended Michaela Schifrin's winning start to the World Cup slalom season. With an unbeatable second run in the slalom, she pipped Schifrin by just 0.14 seconds to secure the overall win. And over to cricket, the final match of the Ashes continues in Sydney, with England looking to regain some dignity and pride as they battle the Aussies one final time. The match is due to finish on Wednesday if it goes the distance, but with these two teams, anything is possible. Looking over to entertainment, the Critics' Choice Awards kicked off in Santa Monica this weekend, with Chelsea Handler hosting the star-studded event. Michael B. Jordan's Sinners led the film nominations, while Netflix's Adolescence dominated the TV categories. Red carpet fashion was in full swing as Hollywood gears up for the Golden Globes this Sunday, and we've got a great film critic on later to talk more about this. In the box office, James Cameron's Avatar: Fire and Ash continues its reign, crossing the $1 billion mark globally and pulling in £32 million this weekend alone. Disney's Zootropolis 2 isn't far behind, with family audiences flocking to cinemas over the Christmas New Year period. Netflix is bringing in big titles this January, including Bridgerton Season 4 on the 29th and the full James Bond collection from the 15th. Over on Hulu, Best Medicine drops tomorrow, and Paramount Plus is adding thrillers like Girl Taken and Cold Water this week. That's it for the news. Let's continue with a little bit of more music now. We've got a new release from Ray last year that we're going to play for you now. And to me, it's like Destiny's Child meets Janelle Monáe. It's Where Is My Husband?
Your husband is coming.
Bell Rig FM.
Well, that was Ray with her 2025 hit, Where Is My Husband? One of my absolute favourite releases from last year. Let's have a look at the weather now, although I'm sure you're probably already feeling it. Across the UK, winter weather continues to grip large parts of the country as persistent Arctic air masses keeps temperatures well below normal. The Met Office has issued snow and ice warnings stretching from Scotland and Northern Ireland down through Wales and parts of Northern England as well, and those hazardous conditions are expected to persist into today. Across much of England and Wales, widespread frost and icy surfaces remain a real hazard, especially on untreated roads, pavements and bridges. Temperatures are struggling to rise above freezing in many areas, with snow showers and sleet possible later in the day, particularly in the northern and western counties, so look out for that if you're in Lancashire. Looking now to the roads, travel remains challenging this morning. Icy conditions and patchy snow are leading to slower journeys across many regions, particularly in the north and the west. Drivers are urged to allow extra time, reduce their speed, and watch for untreated frost on rural routes and bridges. Emergency services and gritters are out in force, but conditions could deteriorate again this afternoon. Several rail routes in Scotland and northern England are still seeing disruption, with cancellations and delays due to snow and drifting ice. Operators recommend checking your train provider's live updates before you travel this morning. With icy surfaces and wintry conditions ongoing, authorities are urging people to only travel if absolutely necessary and to prepare their vehicles for winter conditions. Forecasters say this cold pattern is likely to persist through the week, so keep a lookout for those weather changes. We're going to switch into another song now. We've got the 502s with Perfect Portrait of Young Love.
You were wearing white under a sunset, jokingly smoked a candy cigarette, and you smiled at me when you rolled your eyes. Something about you has me mesmerized. Kissed your freckles in the sun. We got in trouble, but it was fun. We'd oversleep every Saturday. You always seem to get your way. She's got long hair, nice hips, in a sundress. Kiss me on the cheek with a Coca-Cola chapstick. Her skin song kiss, God bless the girl. That was really good. More peaceful than the branch of an olive tree. She loves to lounge in her underwear, somehow makes friends everywhere. She's the only woman in my dreams, the star of all my memories. She's the perfect portrait of young love, and I'm just her lucky tag along. She's got long hair, nice hips, in a sundress. Kiss me on the cheek with a Coca-Cola chapstick. Her skin song kiss, God bless the girl. It may sound strange, but she makes every ounce of pain feel like it wasn't in vain. One thing's for sure, God bless the girl. In a sundress, kiss me on the cheek with a Coca-Cola chapstick. Her skin song kiss, God bless the girl.
Perfect Portrait of Young Love by the 502s there. We've got a brilliant discussion on now with a film critic about the Golden Globe, so stay tuned.
Bale Rig FM.
Well, it's award season in the film industry, and we've got the Golden Globe ceremony is coming up this Sunday evening. And to discuss it with me, I have a good friend of mine, film critic James Green.
Thank you for having me.
Brilliant, James. So, Golden Globe season. Let's start with a little bit of a rundown. What's going on?
So, this is quite an interesting year. We've seen a lot of variety of films come out this year. Like, it's been kind of disappointing, especially like with the box office. But sometimes we have to remember that the box office doesn't reflect on the quality of the films that have come out this year. What was one of your favorite films that you saw last year?
You know, I'd have to say one of my favourites would be Sinners. Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan. I really enjoyed that one. It was kind of one that I kept seeing a lot of clips for on social media. And I had listened to some of the soundtracks because it's got a couple of good kind of classic Irish songs. And I'm a big fan of Irish folk. And so I'd listened to the soundtrack a fair bit. And I was like, you know what? I actually kind of want to see this movie. And so I didn't watch it in cinemas. I watched it when it came out on Amazon. I bought it on Amazon. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really kind of well-paced. I thought it was kind of a good balance between, I thought Michael B. Jordan was fantastic in it, kind of playing two different characters. But I really enjoyed the film as a whole. Jack O'Connell was kind of the standout star for me in playing Remick, the Irish vampire. I thought he was fantastic at making kind of this sinister, creepy villain almost relatable somehow. So I thought he was fantastic in it.
Yeah, no, like I've heard a lot of great things about Sinners. I didn't enjoy it as much as most people did, but like that's just my opinion. Jack O'Connell's been having a good year. He was also in 28 Years Later as well, which he was quite good in. We'll probably be seeing more of him in the sequel of that film.
So. Yeah, and we've also got SAS Rogue Heroes that he's in.
That's true.
Robert Blair, Paddy Maine. Which I absolutely love that show. Phenomenal show.
I think before I get into the nitty gritty with the Golden Globe nominations, I think I just want to dedicate a little bit of time just to talk about the recent passing of director Rob Reiner. You know, when I was getting into films, Rob Reiner was one of those directors that I really loved all of his films. Like, he made such a variety of films, from This Is Spinal Tap, Stand By Me, The Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, Misery, A Few Good Men. And it's just so sad to see him go with such great talent that he had.
Yeah, and go out the way that it happened as well.
Yeah, it's so tragic.
It was, yeah. I mean, the Princess Bride was such a fundamental part of my upbringing, and I feel like it's become such a cultural icon. And you can say that about so many of his films, you know, A Few Good Men, This Is Spinal Tap. Like, they're so phenomenally well made. It's a real testament to him, and I'm glad that we have those films still as a way for him to kind of live on in the future.
I always kind of see film as something that, like, you know, when you pass, you kind of, you know, leave it behind, kind of like sort of like a legacy. You know, in like 1,000 years, you know, we'll all be gone, but those films will still be there.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we still watch and love films that came out in the 50s and 60s. You know, we've just had Christmas has just been and gone. You know, 1954's White Christmas, Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney, one of my absolute all-time favorite Christmas films. They're all long gone now.
Yeah.
But we still watch that film with a lot of love, and we love that film.
And nostalgia.
And nostalgia, exactly. Yeah. And so it means a lot to people to kind of be able to watch these films, even though the actors have long gone, and to be able to kind of leave your mark on the world in that way is a really, really wonderful opportunity.
Yeah. No, I feel very sentimental about that as well. Okay, so talking about the Golden Globe nominations, the movie that's leading with the most nominations, I believe it has 9 nominations.
It's, I think so, yeah.
One battle after another. Paul Thomas Anderson's, I think, 10th film? So Paul Thomas Anderson, he's a director that's been in like the conversation for like years. His first movie was Hard Eight, but the movie that he broke out with, like his breakout film, was Boogie Nights in 1997. And then ever since then, he's just been making like banger after banger. And he's actually overdue for an award. He's never won an Oscar. He's never won a Golden Globe. So I feel like that, for me personally, looking at the season, he seems to be the front runner. It's quite a popular film, has quite a star-studded cast. So I'm predicting that to do really well.
Definitely, yeah. That seems to be kind of the common consensus at the minute, is that this is kind of finally his time to be recognized for some of his work.
Of course.
What are some of the other frontrunners that we're seeing?
So like we were talking about earlier, Sinners, I believe that has 8 nominations as well. But you see, just to explain something, the Golden Globes have separate categories for things. They split it from comedy, musical, and drama. So Sinners is nominated for Best Motion Picture Drama. Actually, if you don't mind, I can quickly go through the nominees for both categories.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's basically the equivalent of, if you're into the Oscars, it's basically the equivalent for Best Picture.
Yeah.
But for the Golden Globes. So the nominees for Best Motion Picture Drama are Hamnet, Sinners, sentimental value, Frankenstein, It Was Just an Accident, and The Secret Agent.
Mm.
So I'd say out of all of these films, going by my gut instinct, I'd say that Hamnet is the front runner. Hamnet just seems kind of like your sort of safe bet movie, kind of the film that these award shows kind of love. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a period drama about William Shakespeare. What's more awards friendly than that? Let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. And what about the musical comedy category?
So the nominees for best musical comedy, like we were talking about before, are One Battle After Another, Marty Supreme, Begonia, No Other Choice, Blue Moon, and Nouvelle Vague.
And in terms of the way this awards, this whole category is structured with kind of the two separate ones, I really like the way the Golden Globes do this, because whereas with the Oscars, where you just kind of lump them all together in this one kind of best picture category, it's really hard to judge in terms of, like, you know, you have how do you stack up a drama like, for example, like Sinners against you know a movie that's kind of supposed to be a comedy, you know, let's say Free Guy, for example, is the first one that's coming to mind with Ryan Reynolds, came out a few years ago. How would you kind of stack, you know, let's say A Few Good Men against Free Guy and kind of decide which one is better? You know, they're completely different films with completely different kind of aims and goals with kind of what kind of they're trying to portray.
They are very different, but I think one thing you have to consider when it comes to awards shows is it's not necessarily like if a movie's good or not, but it's like the narrative behind the film.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, we were talking about One Battle After Another. Paul Thomas Anderson's like way overdue for an award, and maybe that's not like the best film of the year. It's my favorite film of the year, but that might not necessarily be someone else's favorite movie of the year. Some people might prefer Sinners. Some people might prefer Hamnet, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, it's the narrative behind that always kind of tugs on these people's hearts, these like voters' hearts.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know.
And, like, I mean, like you said it earlier, like the box office this year, you know, these films haven't performed brilliantly at the box office.
Yeah. And I just want to point out, I think Sinners is the only film to really, like, do really well in the box office. One Battle After Another kind of didn't really do great financially, but it's the most critically acclaimed movie of the year.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like, you look at the movies that do perform well at the box office. Let's say Avengers Endgame, for example, obviously a very famous one that's being re-released in cinemas this year in September. It looks like they're trying to go for Avatar's record again. It seems to be a continual battle between the two.
Mm.
But you kind of look at that and, you know, it's a really good movie. It's one of my absolute favorites, purely for the nostalgic element. Because I remember when I first saw it in cinemas, I went with my friend Oscar from high school, and it was kind of this kind of big fan experience. Me and him having seen many Marvel movies together, it was kind of this big climax and the excitement that was generated around it. That's kind of the nostalgic element for me, and that's why it's kind of one of my favorites. But I do acknowledge that, like, it's not, you know, an artistic movie.
Mm.
It is designed to be kind of this easy viewing, you know, lots of action and excitement, kind of adrenaline releasing movie. Mm. It's not kind of the same thing as kind of artistic movies like the ones you see nominated for awards categories, which is why I think that there's that kind of difference.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think recently, though, they have been trying to sort of balance that. Like, in the past couple of Oscars, like, movies that have, like, done really well in the box office have been nominated for Best Picture. Like, last year, both Wicked and Dune Part 2 were nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
And then the year previously, Barbenheimer, both Oppenheimer and Barbie were nominated for Best Picture. So I feel like they've tried to incorporate that.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely agree. I think we're kind of moving into the era of, you know, the award shows are kind of diversifying a little bit.
Mm.
You're getting a lot, you know, as you said, we're getting a lot more foreign made or foreign language films are appearing in awards categories, and sometimes awards with no language whatsoever. I mean, last year we had I can't remember the name of the film. You will probably remember it, but it was a silent film.
Oh, Flow.
Flow, that
oh,
was it,
Flow
yeah.
Flow is a great movie.
Yeah, exactly. That had really no language in it at all. And so we're kind of really beginning to see this diversity occurring in the film industry.
Yeah. And, you know, what's great about that is it gets a lot more people exposed to, like, films that are not made just by Hollywood.
Yeah.
And made from, like, other countries with other people, with other voices. Because that's the great thing about films, is films kind of as a way to express your voices and stuff like that. And like,
yeah, and for some people that is what floats their boat, you know. They want to watch movies that have kind of like a profound message behind it, or that have some kind of really unique element to it. And some people just want to watch movies that kind of get your adrenaline going, that kind of satisfy the dopamine high, like, you know, the Avengers films, for example. I love an Avengers film. I'm a big nerd. Mm. So, you know, I love my Avengers films, but sometimes I also do like watching kind of the more serious, the more award friendly, let's say, films that are out there, because I think there can be a balance. People can like both. But what we'll do is we're going to go to a song now, and seeing as it's award season, I figure let's go to one of the movies that has been nominated, my personal favorite for the season, Sinners. We're going to have now Jack O'Connell's version of The Rocky Road to Dublin, which he recorded with a couple of artists from an Irish folk group called The High Kings, who I'm a big fan of. And so this was the song that I kind of started listening to anyway, and this is kind of what got me to actually watch the movie. And we'll be back with James to discuss his predictions for the upcoming Golden Globe ceremony just after this.
Then off to reap the corn and live where I was born. I cut a stout black thorn for to banish ghosts and goblins. A brand new pair of brogues to rattle over the box and frighten all the dogs on the rocky road to Dublin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, in the merry month of May, from me home I started, left the girls of Tuam, were nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear, kissed me darling mother, drank a pint of beer, my grief and tears to smother. Then off to reap the corn, leave where I was born, cut a stout black thorn to banish ghosts and goblins. Brand new pair of brogues rattling over the bogs and frightened all the dogs on the rocky road to Dublin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hut the hare and turn her down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin, whack for lolly-da. In Mullingar that night I rested limbs so weary, started by daylight next morning bright and airy, took a drop of the beer to keep me heart from singing, that's the Paddy's cure, whenever he's on for drinking, to hear the lassie smile, laughing all the while at me curious style, could set your heart a bubble and ask me was I hard, wages I required till I was almost tired of the rocky road to Dublin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hug the hair and turn her down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin, back for lolly-da. In Dublin it's the rave, I thought it such a pity to be so soon deprived of view of that fine city. Then I took a straw, all among the quality bundle it was tall. In a neat locality something crossed me mind, when I looked behind the bundle could I find upon me stick a wobble inquiring for the rogue. Said me conic rogue wasn't much in vogue on the rocky road to Dublin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hot the hair and turn her down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin, back for lolly-da. Never failing, landed on the quay just as the ship was sailing. Captain at me wore, said the no remedy. When I jumped aboard a cabin bound for Paddy, down among the pigs played some funny.
You're listening to 95.3 Bailrig FM.
So that was The Rocky Road to Dublin from Sinners, the movie that released earlier this year, featuring actor Jack O'Connell, along with two members of Irish folk group The High Kings, Brian Dunphy and Darren Holden there for you. We're here with film critic James Green. We're talking about the Golden Globes that's coming up this Sunday. And we're now going to talk a little bit about some of your predictions.
Yes, we
for
are.
What we're going to see happen at this ceremony that's upcoming, and maybe a precursor for what we might see with the rest of awards season.
Yes, of course. So for best film, for the drama, I'm predicting Hamnet to win.
Mm-hmm.
However, I wouldn't be surprised if Sinners comes and surprises us all.
Yeah.
I highly doubt it, but it wouldn't surprise me. And for the best musical and comedy category, I'm pretty sure it's going to go to One Battle After Another.
Yeah, I think that's the general consensus as well, is that this is Paul Thomas Anderson's kind of his time to shine.
Yeah.
So
if he doesn't win for this, I'm sorry, he's probably never going to win ever. So, you know, what better movie, in my opinion, to give this award to than for this movie? So
yeah, fair enough. Yeah, so let's, what about the acting side of it? Best actor, actress, what are we looking at?
So like I said, like, it's still pretty early, but I think that for the best actor in a drama, I'm pretty confident that Wagner Moura is gonna win. If correct me if I'm wrong, I think he plays Pablo Escobar in Narcos. I know that he plays Death in Puss in Boots in The Last Wish. He does the voice for him in that role. He's an incredible actor, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, everyone talks about Puss in Boots in The Last Wish, you know. He really kind of did the terrifying villain really well, despite the fact that it's a cartoon movie. Like, it's a hard thing to get right, and he definitely did.
Yeah, not that many people, like, take animation seriously, unfortunately. Yeah. But I think that we're starting to see a rise in it, especially through, like, the millennial Gen Z sort of like age demographic. I think that they have a way more appreciation towards animation than the previous generations, who kind of just see it as for kids.
Definitely, yeah. Like Shrek, for example, is what a lot of us grew up on. And Shrek is always like a timeless classic, really. And Puss in Boots kind of joins that cadre a little bit later in, like, I think it's the second film or something like that.
So, yeah, no, it is.
Shrek's always going to be a classic. You've got things like Kung Fu Panda and Pixar movies that are kind of always going to be these classic animation movies that are kind of beloved for a long time.
I would say for the comedy, it's funny because like a couple of weeks ago, I probably would have said Leonardo DiCaprio would have a big shot at winning. But like, looking at this like awards campaign that like Timothée Chalamet is doing, which is like pretty insane, I think that he actually might win here. I think I'm going to lock in Timothée Chalamet for Marnie Supreme.
We go.
Yeah. It hasn't come out yet. I think it's coming out on Christmas in the UK. So be sure to check that movie out in a cinema near you. As for the actress in a motion picture comedy or musical, I would have said Cynthia Erivo for Wicked, honestly. But I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I saw Wicked for good. I thought it was okay. I thought it was a decent movie. It didn't even get a nomination for best musical or comedy.
That really surprised me.
That surprised me too, especially because of the fact that like the first one was like a hit.
And
I think this one was also
very big. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it kind of surprises me. But I think that because of that factor, I'm not predicting her to win, but I'm predicting Chase Infinity. Her incredible performance in One Battle After Another. I don't know if you know this, but this is her first movie.
Wow.
Can you imagine, like,
bagging a Golden Globe on your first time out of the gate?
Yeah, like winning a Golden Globe for your first ever, like, film performance.
It's got to put you on a high horse a little bit.
I was just looking it up. She's only, like, 25.
Wow.
As well.
Yeah.
Like, she was born in, like, 2000. Like, so
good for her.
Exactly. Oh, and also, I just want to quickly comment that I think that this is, like, I feel like we're kind of in a golden age or a golden era period of, like, child actors.
Yeah.
I feel like recently we've been seeing some incredible child acting performances. I know we're not getting into television, but I just want to highlight that for the category of best supporting performance in any television performance.
Yeah.
Owen Cooper is nominated for Adolescence, who gave such an incredible performance in
Absolutely.
That show.
Absolutely, yeah. That was a phenomenal show. And yeah, his performance in it was really quite something. It was really fantastic.
And I think he's only like 15 as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, he's young, yeah. which is crazy. I mean, you see, you know, actors like Owen Cooper in Adolescence, and you know the talent there is just phenomenal.
I know. It's like, where do they find these kids?
Exactly. Yeah. And very quickly, let's talk about music in terms of what's been nominated for the music at the Golden Globes.
Well, like, it's the usual suspects. We got the two Wicked songs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like songs that were not originally from the Broadway musical,
because
songs that are from like a pre-existing musical or like a pre-existing song don't count. So they made two original songs just for this purpose.
Just to try and win awards.
Exactly. And there's also the song from Sinners. I'm trying to remember the song, but I think it's the song that's, you know, when there's that one scene where there's like the one take and they're all kind of dancing in the fire.
Yeah.
I think it's that song. But I think, honestly, without a shadow of a doubt, I think that the song that's going to win, which is probably one of the most popular songs of the year, is probably going to be Golden from K-Pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah.
I'm also predicting K-Pop Demon Hunters to win the Best Animated Feature Film as well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's a weird one, and one that I know absolutely nothing about. I know nothing about K-Pop Demon Hunters. I've not ever seen
it. Oh, you love it.
Yeah, I mean... It's an interesting one for sure. The song from Sinners is I Lied to You.
Yeah, that song.
That one. And then the soundtrack itself was also nominated by
of course.
Ludwig Göransson.
I'm predicting that to win the best score.
Yeah, so definitely. I mean, Ludwig Göransson, he's phenomenal.
Yeah, like, no, he had an incredible track record, because he did Oppenheimer,
he did Black Panther.
Yeah, he did Tenet as well,
yeah.
He also did the score for The Mandalorian.
He did, as well. Yeah, so he's kind of had a very good run. Mm. He's I think we're kind of seeing like another Michael Giacchino kind of arising here, where he really doesn't miss.
No,
he does a lot of kind of very different projects. You know, Michael Giacchino, he's done some stuff for Pixar. Mm. He's done some stuff for Star Wars. He did the Rogue One soundtrack.
Mm.
And I feel like we're kind of seeing another version of that happening with him.
He also did the score for the new Batman movie as well.
Yes, yes, he did.
Also, a shout out to Ludwig Göransson that he's also doing the score for Christopher Nolan's new movie, The Odyssey, which is coming out, I think, July 21st.
Yeah,
so
I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
Yeah, better check that one out.
Definitely, yeah. And that kind of brings us on to the last point that we wanted to talk about, which is cinema.
Mm.
And because obviously, you know, it's been in the news a lot lately, talking about Netflix's acquisition of Warner Brothers Discovery and what that'll mean for the cinema industry. So in terms of trying to stave off the end of cinema, what's kind of going on here that we think that us regular Joes can kind of do and get involved with?
Well, I think the first thing to understand is that cinema is an experience. You know, it's not just going to the movies. You know, I want to give an example. I like one battle after another, there's this one scene that was like so captivating from the movie that I just couldn't get from like watching that at my home, you know.
Yeah,
you got the new Avatar movie, and as good as it would be watching it on a TV, like, it would be something completely different to watching it in the cinema.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, like, because, you know, I said I didn't watch Sinners in the cinema when it came out earlier this year. I had waited until it came out on release, and that was kind of when my curiosity peaked with it, and I decided to kind of go and watch it on Amazon Prime. But I can definitely see that watching it in the cinema would have been a completely different experience, and I feel like you would have felt the atmosphere of the film a lot more seeing it in a cinema. And I mean, the cinema itself is just... Going to the cinema is, like you said, it's an experience in and of itself. I mean, I had, you know, a couple of weeks ago, me and a group of friends of mine, we went to see Colleen Hoover's adaptation of, well, it's her book, but the adaptation of Regretting You in the cinemas, which I'm not entirely surprised that we haven't seen this crop up at all in the awards season this year. It was a bit of a strange movie, I'm not going to lie, but it was still the opportunity to go and see it in cinema with my friends, despite the fact that it was a strange movie. It was still a whole lot of fun to be able to go and see it together as kind of a group. And so cinema is really, it's really versatile. Like, it's a great thing to go and do on your own. It's a great thing to go and do with friends. You know, there's a reason that, you know, the stereotypical date idea that people come up with is, oh, let's, you know, dinner and a movie, you know, going to the cinema. You know, it's kind of become such a quintessential part of the human experience in the last 50 years, in the last 100 years almost.
Yeah, no, of course. And I think that another thing we have to understand is that cinema kind of brings a sense of community, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you have movies that are, you know, blockbuster films, like, you know, you got like Avengers and you got like Star Wars and stuff like that. But then there's also these like little small movies that, you know, you might not watch or you might not take a second thought to.
Yeah.
But like, it's just these experiences that you have that you can cherish for like the rest of your life. I could go on with like the amounts of movies that I've seen in the cinema that have like changed my life, and that's like the only way you could watch that film.
Yeah,
like you wouldn't feel the same if you watched it on your TV. And that's not against streaming, and that's not against like people. I can understand why people would prefer streaming. It's a lot more affordable. Like, why spend, I don't know, £16 or like £5 to get a cinema ticket when you could just watch a movie in your own home for free?
Yeah,
but it's just this sense of, it's this experience, it's the sense of community, and it's the fact that it's like the people who work in these cinemas and the people who watch movies in the cinemas, they really, really love movies.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and like they love the art form, they love the passion, they love the experience, and like it just means so much to these people, and it means so much to me as well. There's no other place where you could feel these feelings but the cinema.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, we're kind of coming to the end here. And so I guess our takeaway from this is go and see these films in the cinema. You know, we have the Golden Globe ceremony is coming up this Sunday. And then after that, in the next few months, we're going to see, obviously, the Academy Awards, the BAFTAs, we're going to have the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and many more. And so the kind of the takeaway from this is go see these films in the cinema. Go kind of make your own judgments as to what you think is worthy of winning, what you think will actually win. And then tune into the Golden Globes on Sunday night if you're up that late. And see how, and we can put James to the test here. We can see how well his predictions kind of actually shape out. And we may well come back to this in next week's show and just kind of very quickly
see how
go
wrong
over.
I am.
Yeah, see how accurate he is at telling the future when it comes to film awards. But what we're going to do now is we're going to play a song which I know nothing about and have never heard or before, never seen before, but it's been nominated for Best Original Song at the Golden Globes. It is, in fact, Golden from K-Pop Demon Hunters. Again, never heard it before, but we're going to see how it shakes out. We're going to play it for you now. This is James's prediction to win Best Original Song. James, thank you very much for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I was a ghost, I was alone. 두어진 길 속에 Given the throne, I didn't know to believe I was the queen that I'm meant to be. I live two lives, try to pick both sides, but I couldn't find my own place. Caught a problem child, could've got too wild, but now that's how I'm getting paid. Could that be on stage? I'm done hiding, now I'm shining like I'm gonna be. We dreaming hard, we came so far.
put these patterns all in the past now, and finally live like the girl they all see. No more hiding, I'll be shining like I'm born to be. Cause we are hunters, voices strong, and I know I believe. We're going up, 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 it's our moment. You know together we're going, gonna be gone. Up, up, up with our voices, going to get just a woman. Gonna be gone. Oh, I'm done hiding, now I'm shining like I'm born to be. Oh, our time, no fears, no lies, that's who we're born to be. You know we're gonna be golden. We're gonna be, born to be glowing. Like every night, no, no, you know that it's our time, no fears, no lies, that's who we're born to be.
You're listening to 95.3 Balearic FM.
So that was Golden from the hit film K-pop Demon Hunters, the likely favourite of film critic James Green to win Best Original Song at the Golden Globes on Sunday. So feel free to tune into that to see if he'll be proven right or wrong. But let's head over to our good news this week. This week's happy headline is for our very own Lancaster University. The university rankings for 2026 are out, and Lancaster is looking good for this year. The Times and the Sunday Times Good University Guide 2026 ranks Lancaster 15th out of 130 in the UK. And then you've got also The Guardian, who rated us 14th out of 123, and the Complete University Guide puts us 10th. So you can officially say you go to a top 10 university. And then if you look back at the Times' university guide, they rank the universities based on subjects as well. And Lancaster has 10 individual subjects areas in the top 10, and we even have 4 ranked in the top 5. Our best departments are linguistics, French, social work, sociology, and medicine. So very good news if you're on those courses. And we also received earlier, I think just at the end of last year, a gold standard for teaching in the latest Teaching Excellence Framework. And in the most recent Research Excellence Framework, 91% of Lancaster's research was independently rated as internationally excellent or world leading. And lastly, we won the University of the Year in the Northwest for 2026, which was a new award introduced in September by the Times Good University Guide. So lots to be excited about for Lancaster students. Clearly, we all made a good choice by coming here. So we've got some more good music for you now. It's country legend Johnny Cash with Ring of Fire.
Is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet.
I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is 95.3 Bailrig FM.
Well, folks, that's all we've got time for today. As always, I do hope you've enjoyed the show. If you'd like to be featured on it, or if you'd like to be interviewed, then feel free to message me on Instagram at Samuel Carruthers, or you can head to bailrigfm.co.uk/get involved to find out how you can get involved with our student radio station. Thanks very much to James Green for coming on to my show today to discuss the Golden Globes. This has been the Big Bailrig Breakfast broadcast with Sam Carruthers on Tuesday the 6th of January 2026, just coming up on 9 a.m. now. We'll be back next Tuesday at 8, as always, with another show. Until you then, I'm going to leave you with Aurora and A Temporary High. Have a great rest of the week. Here's to 2026, and goodbye.
95.3 Bailrig FM.
Anyone else fancy a Salter?
With a restaurant on campus and delivery in town from the Caton Road store, Salton's has everything you need to take a night out from bland to delicious. Don't let the end of the night be the end of the fun with Salton of Lancaster Experience. Open till 4am Monday to Saturday and 2am on Sundays.
Live from Lancaster, this is 95.3 Bailrig FM.